What an amazing experience it is meeting with God. God loves us so much that he wants to heal us, and that by his Holy Spirit, he does that in many different ways. Sometimes it can be a release. Sometimes it can be just joy. He wants to put joy in people's lives. And this comes out sometimes in laughter. It can come out in tears. It can come out in many different ways. And that's just because he loves us so much that he wants to heal us. And I just wanted to really, this morning, talk about a little bit about an inclusive church, really, if I could. It's been on my mind quite a lot recently about being inclusive and exclusive. And we have at work, we have an equalities policy. Has anyone else got one of them? Yeah. And it tends to be something that's shoved in the filing cabinet and you bring out when you're inspected or something else, you know. But we have this equality policy, and the whole idea of having it is to be open to many different types of people with varying backgrounds, so that people don't feel, you know, that they can't participate. And that's really been on my heart for the church as well, is about participation. And I'm not one of these people who drops, oh, I'm reading a book at the moment. As Tonya will probably tell you, that I don't necessarily finish them. But I am actually hooked on a book that's called Everyone Gets to Play. I don't know if anyone's read that. And it's John Wimber. And I don't apologize this morning. I'm quoting from John Wimber. I might not always mention it, but it's pretty much probably from there. But God's really spoken to me as I've been reading that book. And it's one of those books, you know, sometimes books have really complicated titles, don't they? You know, and you can never quite work out from the title what you're reading. Well, this one is what it is. You know, everyone gets to play. Everyone gets to take part. In Jesus' church, everyone gets to participate. Everyone gets to be a part of worshiping God. It's not exclusive. Oh, and do you know what? We don't need an equalities policy either. It says in the Bible. And it's worshiping God in its many forms. You know, whether that's sung, whether that's in silence, whether that's reading, whether that's art. I've been following up on some art worship because I'm not very artistic, if I'm honest. And I don't really get art, unfortunately. So I'm not one of those people who gets it. But when you watch someone, I've been watching a few videos about it, somebody worshiping God through art, it's absolutely amazing, some of the pictures that come about. But everyone gets to take part in God's church. Everybody. Everybody gets to share the gospel message. A message that we can have a full-on relationship with the very God who loves us. Do you know, everyone gets to have cups of tea and coffee and cake. Apart from me, I'm on a diet, but... Craft workshops. Bible study. Doesn't matter what you think of yourself or how intelligent you think you are. God sees differently. God sees your intelligence. You get to go to house group. You get to go to drama groups. You get to be involved in media. You get to pray for people. You don't have to be given a specific allocated job to pray for people. Everybody gets to play. You get to go to the well. You get to help people at the well. Everyone gets to play in friendship. Everybody gets to play being a follower of Jesus. You might notice football's been so tempting this morning. I had in my head this particular of at the end. I was going to throw it out to somebody, but somebody pointed out the health and safety policy. So not only do we have an equality policy, we have a health and safety policy as well. So I'm not going to. But football's a quite an interesting thing. I've learned something about Howard. I'm sure you won't mind me saying this, that he stopped playing football competitively when he was 45. I stopped playing football when I was about just short of 18. And it's and I don't know if anyone remembers that at school, you know, where it's PE, yeah. and you're lined up, and everyone as a child anyway is very self-conscious, aren't they? I don't know if anyone's been like that. I'm sick, excuse me a minute. And you're sort of queuing up, and if you imagine you've got this queue of lads all against the wall, and well, the school I went to didn't have an equality policy, so you've got a line of lads against the wall, and you always, I don't know why, but they always had goalposts painted on the wall as well, and I never got that because we never used them. We always had proper goalposts. So you're lining up, and then you always had, you know, there's always in a class, isn't there, the two sportiest people. You know, they're just good at everything. You know, rugby, football, gymnastics, swimming, running, dart. Yes, dart is a sport, apparently. So you're lined up, and then these two guys are choosing their teams. And then they always go, don't they? They always go for Joe and John, because they're really good. They're a pretty safe bet to have on your team. And then as you go through the line, suddenly there's the last three or four people left. And you can see on their faces, can't you, these two team captains, they really don't want to choose these people. So they're like, no, you go first. No, you go first. Can you imagine how it feels? Yeah? I can. You stood there, and then eventually you get chosen. And they shove you on some position where you're not very good. Keep away, just keep out of it. Don't get involved. So I'm going to throw that to Howard. There you go, Howard. I've got his permission, by the way, if anyone pulls me up on health and safety. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, when I was at school, I was quite a big chap. I lost a lot of weight when I was 19. But before then, I was really big. And it was actually quite a hindrance, really, because people instantly had a look at me, and they made a judgment call on my abilities. You know, you could be too big, too small, get that? People are too small to take part, apparently. Too slow, too clumsy, not clever enough. Too clever, get that? Some people don't like to feel intimidated, you know? Too demanding. And it goes on and on. And do you know, these experiences have a massive impact on who we are and on our self-esteem, the way that we see ourselves in the world. And dare I say, can have an impact on the way that we get involved with people and the way that we get involved with life. The real message here at school, or in life generally, is that you can only play if you're good enough. I don't know if anyone remembers in the Bible when Jesus came to Matthew, and Matthew was a tax collector. And it's easy, I mean, we all make jokes about the inland revenue, don't we? You know? But a tax collector at that time, just to give you some kind of emotional response, it would be perceived as somebody who robbed a 90-year-old woman. That's the emotional response of the time that a tax collector had. It was because tax collectors worked for the government, or the governing, the rulers, and the rulers were the Romans. Now, I don't know about you, but can you imagine the scene? So you've got Matthew. Matthew's sat over here. You've got Andrew and Peter over here, because they've been chosen, you know. Jesus has chosen them. He said, come follow. So Jesus is over here talking to Matthew. And he goes to Matthew. He goes, follow. Follow me. And I'm sure Peter and Andrew are like, oh, I'm not quite sure whether I want somebody to, tax collector. I don't think we want them to join our gang. Can you imagine the reputation that we'll not have? And that happens a lot. Jesus said to Matthew, follow. See, Jesus could see beyond what everyone else saw in Matthew. Work in progress. An absolute work in progress. We talk about an inclusive church. A church where people can come as they are. I think as believers, as followers of Jesus, I think we run the risk sometimes of focusing too much on our gifts and our talents and on our skills, actually. You know, sometimes we think about, you know, thinking about worship. And we can have weeks where we think, oh, that was just amazing worship. Or it was fantastic the way that the preacher got the message across. And we hear it all the time. And we focus a lot on the skills and the talents of someone. The way they made that coffee was brilliant. I mean, I've been into the Well sometimes, and honestly, the coffee's fantastic. And then sometimes it's not always as good. Now, just what does that say about me? Do you see what I mean? You know, John Wimber, it's really interesting. Picky, yeah, absolutely, Terry, definitely. No, you can call me picky. I am actually very picky. John Wimber, and I think Terry's hit on a note here, that's the point. That if we focus so much on how good someone does something, other things are missed out. So John Wimber talks about there being a difference between spiritual gifting. And I'm not saying people don't need to be gifted to do particular works of service, as Jesus says. You know, things like speaking in tongues, prophesying, healing, worshiping, preaching, evangelizing, being on the radio, serving at the Well, praying for people. I'm not saying that we don't need gifts to do that. But John talks about something else. He talks about something called spiritual acumen. Now, I don't know about anyone else, just a bit of time out here. Whenever words get thrown into a book, my temptation is just to move on. Because I think, I haven't got a clue what that means. I'll just move on and pretend I do. You know? But I did do some research on this. I thought I'd better, you know. So what spiritual acumen means is this. Is somebody, a believer, someone filled with the Holy Spirit, acting and living out God's word. Not just reading it, but actually living it out in their lives. And that's what John means by spiritual acumen. You could change spiritual acumen to character. And people will see that character in the way that we live our lives. One of the things that that actually I loved before I became a Christian that really got me interested was I always thought Christianity was very fluffy. I'd seen a lot of stuff on the media, and I'd spoken to a few people, and it all seemed wishy-washy, and everyone had nice cups of tea, and that was all great. But I never really saw anything come from that until I met a few people through the Alpha Course. And I could see something We talk about that a lot when we come into church. We talk about seeing something. And I wonder what that is. I wonder what that something is. Could it be character? Galatians 5:22 spells it out for me of what character should be like. Has anyone ever had appraisals? Has anyone had an appraisal before, like these 6-monthy? And then you have like a list of behaviors and then you get ticked against the behaviors. Yeah, Kim's going, yeah. You get ticked against them and, you know, sometimes you hit them and sometimes you don't and you get a development plan and all those sorts of things. Well, actually, Jesus was really clear. When we talk about character, he talks about what character is. And it is Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I struggle with them all. And I know it's easy for someone to stand up here and say, I struggle with them, but I really do struggle with them all. Something happened to me this morning. I was going to share it, but I'll share it now. Just before Christmas, as obviously people know, we got burgled. And my instinct was to look for the well keys. And I couldn't find them. I let Elsie know, and I said, I don't know where the keys are. And I hadn't had them for some time. And Elsie said, well, let's pray about it. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to guide you to where these keys are. So anyway, this morning, I'm having a rummage around for just a book I wanted. Seriously, this is absolute truth. Now, anyone who's been to our house, have seen the bookshelf. Have you seen the bookshelf? And I know we have loads of stuff on there, and it is a bit of a mess. But I had stripped that down, one of the things Tonya will tell you is I'm terrible when I lose something, and particularly the smaller, the worse I seem to be. I panic. I absolutely panic. I have that. Has anyone ever had that sinking feeling? I have that sinking feeling, you know? So I felt like I let everybody down. I thought, Andy, they've trusted you with the keys. You've let everyone down. So I literally went through the house and took books out, sorted it out. So anyway, this morning, I'm looking for a little clock because I'm known to talk quite a lot. So I thought, I'll have a clock on there just to, but there's one there now, to keep an eye on time. So I looked for it. Guess what? I couldn't find it. But anyway, I picked a book up that says Jesus is alive. And guess what? Under that book were the well keys this morning. Absolute truth. So guess who's a happy chappy? Yeah. And that's patience. See, my instinct is to panic. When something doesn't go my way, I panic. And then I prayed, and there was just a sense of peace. I was thinking that cars are always quite an interesting subject, aren't they? Cars are a nightmare for me. They seem to, in my experience, spend a lot of time in the garage. And I was thinking about our character and thinking about what Jesus is looking for. Because when we talk about character, Jesus is looking for something inside of us. And I was thinking, I don't know if anyone's ever done this. You know, you've got a car and you think, I'll wax it up and I'll make it really sparkly. Apparently, we've got a few people in the room that do a lot of car washing on a Sunday, I've heard. And we clean the car up, don't we? You know, and we make it sparkly and we put loads of wax on it. I don't. And bring it out. And that's great. It looks fantastic, doesn't it? It looks absolutely brilliant. But if the thing don't start, doesn't mean anything, does it? And I think sometimes that's how we can live our lives. That we have sparkly clean on the outside, dirty inside. You know, James 1, 22 to 24. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. That'll be me. Jesus shows us. We're taught by this world to measure our success in how well we do something rather than who we are. And that's pushed in everything we do in the world. Oh, it doesn't matter how you do it, just as long as you do it and it looks good. But be reassured that God is interested in what is in your heart. So next time you're in that line at school and they're picking a team, know that God has already chosen you. He chose Matthew, scum of the earth in their eyes. John 15:16. You did not choose me, this is what Jesus is saying, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Look, I'm not saying that we have to be faultless. Jesus wants us not to be, but we are. But before we practice our gifts, our position, our skills, and our talents that Jesus bestows on us. Remember, Jesus called his disciples to follow him before they even knew him. No one work in progress, but think about our character. Think about what's inside. Think about what's going on. You know, Jesus called us to follow him. And that's the first thing. When we talk about discipling, we're talking about learning. And learning to be like Jesus. And that isn't the bells and the whistles. It's the character. It's who we are. See, Jesus calls us as we are, work in progress. But what he also says, you will change. You will change. You know, we can't operate our personal ministries on skills and gifts alone. Our character and heart must grow and build character as we develop in our faith, listening to God, and everyone gets to play in that. John Wimber, he shares a story, actually. I think this really hit home for me. John Wimber shares a story. When he was a young Christian, I say a young Christian, not necessarily an age. He was 29 at the time. Okay, just to put a bit of perspective. And he loved going to Bible study. He calls it Sunday school, but it's Bible study. And part of him going to Sunday school was he had a responsibility, yay, of putting chairs out. Fantastic, eh? Putting the chairs out. And he really enjoyed it. He just enjoyed being involved in something, having that kind of sense of responsibility. On one particular morning, he's driving to church for this Bible study, and notices at the side of the road someone has broken down. And he thinks to himself, if only I had the time, I would stop and help them out. He manages to get to church on time. Phew, it's close. And he sets up the room, and everyone starts to come in for Bible study, so they're all sat down on the chairs that he puts out. Bible teacher doesn't turn up. So 10 minutes pass, 15 minutes pass. Still no Bible teacher. He walks in about after 25 minutes and he goes to everyone and he says, look, I'm really sorry. And you could see he was absolutely caked in grief. He says, "I'm really sorry. I was driving to Bible study today, and there was a guy that had broken down, so I pulled over to help him." So John talks about this being one of his biggest lessons of listening to God and following Jesus. There was someone in trouble and they needed help, but he focused on the wrong thing. And this is character. This is what we're talking about, character. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:13, "Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Paul is talking about character, about how we grow in our faith. Character is important. So how, I mean, it's a big question, isn't there? And I don't know if I've got an answer really, but so how do you build character? You could sit in a classroom and you could try and learn character. But it's something you've got to experience. Character is built by engaging with life and learning to listen to God through our experiences. And I'm sure there are lots of people in this room today who have had a lot of experiences and might be thinking, well, where's God in this? I don't have an answer, but he is. It does require us to spending time with God, but it also requires us to spend time with each other. It really does. Hebrews 10:25, "Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Jesus wants us to grow and engage with him and with each other to live a full life. Everyone gets to play. This week, I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to give it a go. This week, Mark 10. Was the Bible plan, Mark 10, a bit of Mark 11. And there's three parts in Mark. One of the things I love about Mark, and particularly chapter 10, is that Jesus does so much teaching to the disciples. He literally tells them, he demonstrates, and they go and do. And for me, that is a model of learning. And actually, there's a chap called Kolb who allegedly invented the learning cycle, I think in the 60s, but actually it was invented 2,000 years before when Jesus was ministering to people, you know, and that's real learning, that's real character building. But in Mark, he talks about three areas as disciples that we need to be very aware of that actually don't help build character. So I can tell you some of the things to be aware of. The first one is it's called legalization. And that's where people follow particular rules or routines or habits to make them feel better about themselves. Jesus says that doesn't build character. Okay, the next one is it's called humanism. So basically what that means, I had to research that one as well. So humanism is people who rely on themselves. I've led a good life, therefore I'm good. Jesus says that doesn't build character either. And the final one is about self-imposed authority. This is authority that we impose on ourselves, a human authority, not an authority that is given by God. That doesn't build character either. What does build character is Jesus. So the question for you today is, do you want to play? Do you want to fully engage in life? Do you fully want to engage in God's church? Do you want to live a life that encourages others to play? Do you want to live a life that encourages others to play? Are you living a life like everyone gets to play? That's how when I finished reading last night, I thought that's what's in it for me really is. Are we living a life that everyone gets to play in? Maybe you haven't invited Jesus into your life yet. There's some difficult questions there. Well, there were for me. You know, church isn't perfect. And actually, people are annoying, as I realize sometimes. You know, but God is teaching us. He's training us. He's telling us. He's demonstrating. And we're doing how to love people. It's just two simple commandments. Love your God. Love your neighbors. And that's all he asks of us. And as we build our character, as we work towards those trials and difficulties that I don't have an answer to, something happens. The Holy Spirit reaches out into our hearts, into those places that we don't go, and he does something with it. And he shows us how to love.